Okay, we're up to Perek Tesvav. But first I want to go back and do one more pasuk. I left you hanging yesterday. Pasuk Yud. Perek Yudal Pasuk Yud. Vayikra Asa El Hashem Eloka. Vayomar Hashem Einim Chol Azar. There's nothing holding you back. There's nothing holding you back from helping. Bein Rav Le'im Koyach. There's no difference for you to hold back and to bring victory between the one that's powerful, the one that's weak. Azreinu, therefore, since there's nothing holding you back, save us, Hashem Elokeinu, ki olecha nish'anu, upon you we rely, v'shimcha vanu, and we come in your name, al hehamoin hazeh, against this enemy, Cush, that we're coming to fight a war against the Malchus of Cush. Hashem Elokeinu ata, you, Al Yatzar Imcha Enosh. Yatzar, according to the Radak, is the simplest interpretation. It means the Radak says Yimloch Ze Yatzar Be'ami. The word Yatzar means to rule, to be a king. The word Yatzar literally means to restrain. And it's interesting that the fact that the word Ze Yatzar Be'ami, this one will rule my nation, referring to Shol. And the Yatzar literally means to restrain. It gives us insight. What is the role of a king? A king has the power to hold the people back. Okay, it's not a hot-tempered person who wants to fight. Godless, we know, Ezel Gibor Hakoivesh Es Yitzro. A Gibor is a person that has power to restrain. So you see that it's a very interesting idea that Malchus is also defined by restraint. There's a time to fight, and there's a time to hold back, from fighting. You have to know when the right time is to do, when it's appropriate to restrain yourself. If you have the koyach to restrain yourself, that shows that you are a true melech. So the word yatzar is a borrowed term to refer to leadership. Here the pasuk is saying, enosh means a frail human being. Don't let a frail human being think that he has control over you. In other words, the enemy Cush, they are the enemy, and they think that they are more powerful over you, Hashem, and they are your God, Kaviyachal. That's what also is really saying. That this foolish nation of Cush, they're coming to fight Klal Yisrael, and they think that they are more mighty than Hashem, and that's why they will prevail. That's what he says here. Al Yatzar, yeah?
I'm sorry. Can you tie this Artzar into the concept of Atzeres?
Atzeres tia lochem, Shavuos is a time of that's in gathering. It's the same word. It means in gathering. We hold back
or hang in it.
I'm okay for now.
I mean, it all depends on the context.
Okay. You mean Atzeres? It means don't leave. Stay another day.
Okay, you can hold back. Stay in the city. Right. Stay around. Okay. So here, according to the civil interpretation, Al Yatzar Imcha Enosh. Do not let Hashem Elokeinu Ata. You are our God, and Al Yatzar Imcha. Do not Enosh. Let not a frail human being think Imcha that he is against you to control you. He's with you. Right, that's
to rule,
right. Yatzar means to rule. Right. Look at the Radak. The Radak says, Al Yatzar Imcha Enosh Kolomar Al Yimloich. Okay, the word Yatzar, it means to be king. Ze Yatzar Bam Al Yimloch Kimo Yoresh Otzar. Yoresh rules. It's another pasuk which has the same exact word in reference to leadership. A Yoresh will rule. Kolomar Lo Yihya Lohem Memshala Kinegdecha. Do not let them have any authority over you. Do not let them be victorious. If they will win the battle, then they will fool themselves in thinking that they control you. Okay, oy perish al yatzar koyach. Do not let them. Or it means al yatzar. Okay, let's do without approach. That's a similar approach. That's really what the Mitzuda says. The Mitzuda says the same thing. Going back to pasuk yud. Enosh Hushem Mitzuda Stavid Ein. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos one more time. Wait, where was the Mitzudos?
Yeah, it's on the second page.
Okay. Al yatzar imcha. Al yatzar adam koyach. Do not give man power limloich la'akev hakoyach biyado lihiskaber. La'akev hakoyach biyado lihiskaber, to hold back the power in his hands to prevail. Okay, I'm not. Okay, let's see with the Radak. The Radak is a similar, like you mentioned from the Targum. Ant lo yishloit imoch bar nosh. Do not let a man rule over you by fooling himself and thinking that he has power over you. Okay, so this is the pretty much concludes what we're going to do for Perek Yud Dal. Yeah.
Kush
is the one, they became a world power at this point in time, and the significance, good thing you mentioned to this, the significance is they conquered Mitzrayim. Okay, this is mentioned more in Sefer Melachim. What?
Sometimes Kush is thought to be Ethiopian nation.
Okay, right. So we discussed that yesterday. There are many different opinions. What exactly is Kush?
But interpretation around India is Kush.
Okay, the different interpretations. Okay, but let's take the entire parak in context. What's happening?
I don't know that any nation from the India area ever come.
You heard of the Hindu Kush?
Okay, there are different interpretations as to who is Kush, but let's review what we have. What happened over here? There's one important point we have to make. That let's go back to the Malchus of Rechav. Let's review the kings of Yehuda. We have David, Shlomo, Rechavam. The Malchus splits. Then comes Avia, and then comes now Asa. We were holding at this moment in time Asa. In the Malchus of Rechavam, there were two major tragedies that happened in the Malchus of Rechavam. Number one, the Malchus split. Okay, that's, I think, what most people look at. That's the major tragedy of Rechavam. You remember in the button, it's the Malchus split. But there was another major tragedy, which is not focused that much, where the king of Mitzrayim, Sheshach, Melech Mitzrayim, came up and took the spoils of the Beis HaMikdash. He took the Kiseh Shel Shlomo, and he took, which was very symbolic. Taking the Kiseh Shel Shlomo represents that he took away from Klal Yisrael its power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed this to happen, and he took, of course, gold and silver, all the spoils. We mentioned that famous Medrash, and all of the Bizas Mitzrayim, one of the three things which Hashem gave and Hashem took. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Bizas Mitzrayim, Vayinatz Les Mitzrayim Kimesud Hashem Badagin, and all of that wealth that was now in the possession of Klal Yisrael for about 500 years was fully restored to Mitzrayim. That's a very significant event. It was basically, Hashem was basically telling Klal Yisrael, you know what? Go back where you came from. I'm not charata, but you're not, the whole goal was to take you out of Mitzrayim, to build for you, to give you Eretz Yisrael, build a Beis HaMikdash, to be the place for the Hashros HaShchina, and you're not with the program, and therefore, you know what? It would have been better had you been in Egypt, and that's why now Egypt will come, conquer, and take back all of the spoils. That's a very significant event. Perhaps it's even more significant than the splitting of the Malchus between Rechavam and Yeravam. Now, what happened subsequent to Rechavam? Rechavam was only king for 17 years. Surely, during his Malchus, things happened very quickly. This nation of Kush rose up to be a world power. Okay, I don't know in the history books if it's even recorded such a thing, but they became such a mighty power, they conquered Egypt. And Kush had in their possession the Kiseh Shlomo and all of the wealth of Mitzrayim. Now, during that time, Rechavam died, and then came Avia. Avia was not necessarily Avia was, there were problems with Avia, obviously. But then comes Asa. Asa was a tzaddik, went back to the ways of Shlom HaMelech and David. And he was a king for, at least says that he was king for 10 years. And during those 10 years, he was a tzaddik gomor. And then either it's a question, different mepharshim, either in the 11th year or in the 15th year of the Malchus of Asa, he went to war against Kush. Going to war against Kush, he prevailed. He retrieved all of the wealth of Mitzrayim once again. Hashem showed Klal Yisrael that they have done tshuva, and once again they're worthy of having for themselves the spoils, the Bizas Mitzrayim and the Kiseh Shel Shlomo, and therefore also recaptured and took back what was lost in the Malchus of Rechavam. Not directly from Mitzrayim, but indirectly through Zerach the king of Cush. If you go back to Perek Yudal, the beginning, Vayas also Hatov Hayosh Ben Hashem. Okay, he took away Nelo Pesuka one, and he took away all of the idols, all the Avodah Zarah, and then going back to Pasik Ches Vayetzelim Zerach Hakushi. The Chayil came along Zerach HaKushi with an army of 1,000,000 soldiers, 1,000 times 1,000, 1,000,000 soldiers. Zerach HaKushi, in the meantime, since the Malchus of Rechavam has conquered in about a 30 year period of time since everything was lost time of Rechavam, he took back, he conquered the spoils of Egypt, the Kisei Shel Shlomo, and in this war, this also was victorious, and everything came back to Klal Yisrael as a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again was pleased with Klal Yisrael's conduct. The only thing that is interesting is that was indirect. Okay, there must be significance in this. I do not know what it is. That when it was taken away from Klal Yisrael, it was taken away directly by Mitzrayim. Sheshak Melech Mitzrayim. However, when it was restored, it was not restored directly. It was restored indirectly through Zerach Melech Kush, who took it from Egypt, and now it was given back to Klal Yisrael. Right, Yisrael, that right of Yehuda, that was the, where all the possessions were, where all of the wealth was. The wealth was in the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash was the source of all of the Bezas Mitzrayim, seemingly. That was where everything was. So when it was taken away, that was a very bad sign. Now Zerach Melech Kush took it from Shishak, and now along comes us, and it takes it back from Shishak. It becomes it. Now the battle is over. In addition to succeeding in the battle against Kush, they also went to battle against the Plishtim. They went to battle against Gerar. You mentioned yesterday that it was a different type of battle. It wasn't necessarily related to Kush, or could be someone that Gerar at this point in time was under the authority of Zerach, the king of Kush. But in any event, they conquered Gerar as well. Now the wars are over. Asa is returning back to Yerushalayim, and on the way he meets up Perek Tesvav with a Navi. Navi of Azariah. Let's take a look at Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph. We pick up where we left off. Va'azaryahu ben Odeid Hoysa Olav Ruach Elokim. So he's coming back from the war, and there's a person by the name of Azariah ben Odeid Hoysa Olav Ruach Elokim. He was inspired by divine inspiration. Now, this is not Nevuah. Far should make that point. It doesn't say that he was a prophet. It says that he had Ruach HaKodesh. Fits very well into Sefer Divrei Hayom. It's part of Ksuvim. Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh in contrast to Nevuah. Pasuk Beis, Vayetze Lefnei Asa. He went before Asa. Vayomalon, he says to him the following. Shema'uni Asa v'chol Yehuda u'vinyamin. Listen to me, Asa v'chol Yehuda u'vinyamin. Hashem imochem v'yoschem imo. Hashem is with you when you are with him. V'im tidrishuhu. If you seek him out, yimotzei lechem. He will be found to you. V'im ta'azvuhu, and if you will abandon him, ya'azov eschem, he will abandon you. In other words, you're coming back from war. You're now at this point in time at the peak of your malchus. You are at the peak. You have 10 years of success of doing Hayosh Abeini Hashem. According to many Mefarshim, the war between Kush and Gerar took place in the 11th year of the malchus of Asa. He is extremely successful, and now comes the moment in time, the danger of Vayishmon Yeshurun Vayivat. The cycle is at the peak. This is the cycle throughout Shoftim, throughout Shmuel. Klal Yisrael does Ayosh Abeinei Hashem. They become very comfortable, secure, become wealthy, and then they decide, you know what, we don't need Hashem anymore. Vayivat, they begin to rebel. That's exactly the point where we're holding right now, and he warns him, watch out. Don't slide backwards at this moment in time. If you'll seek out Hashem, he will be with you. If you will not seek out Hashem, he will abandon you, and all of this success will blow away. The Yomim, now he goes on to, now the next four psukim are very difficult psukim. There are two mahalchim. Either these psukim refer to the past, he's giving him Musar. Learn from the past. We're already here in Eretz Yisrael for about 500 years. Learn about all of our mistakes. Remember that if you abandon Hashem, he will abandon you. That's one interpretation. Other Mefarshim learn that this is a prediction, this is Ruach HaKodesh for the future. The Yomim Rabim Li Yisrael, there were many days for Klal Yisrael. Leloy, let's learn that these psukim now referring to the past. Then we'll discuss the future. The Yomim Rabim Li Yisrael, there were many days in the last 500 years. Lelo Elo Hey MS, where they did not worship, where they did not worship a god of MS. There were many days where they abandoned Hashem and they worshipped idols. Ulalo Kohen Moria, and there were times when they did not have a priest to give them instruction. Ulalo Sora, they were not observant of the Torah. And what happened? Well, you know what happened. Look back in the history books. You know the last 500 years, things were not pleasant. However, Vayoshav Batsarlo, Al Hashem Elokei Yisrael, but we also look back in the past and look what happened when Klal Yisrael did tshuva, in their distress to Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Vevakshuhu, where they sought out Hashem, Vayimatzi Elohim, and Hashem made himself found to them. And look how things were good. Uveitim Ahim, and during those times, going back to the times where things were no good, where they did not observe Hashem, Ein Shalom Layotse Velabad, there was no peace to those that go out and those that come, Kimuhumos Rabos, there was great confusion, Al Kol Yoshve Hoarotzos upon all of the inhabitants of the land, Vichutisu Goy Begoy, and one nation would lift up a sword against another nation, Ve'ir Be'ichutu means to crush, to oppress, one nation against another nation, Ve'ir Be'ir, one city against another city, Kielukim Hamama B'chol Tzara, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused a great confusion with all, accompanied by all different types of tzara. This was the past. Look back. This is history. The atem and yuchizku. Therefore, learn from your past experiences. Be strong. The al yirpu yidechem. Do not become weak. Ki yesh sochar lefu la'aschem. Don't think that your efforts go unnoticed. There is reward for your efforts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring reward. Now, what he's really doing over here, we're going to see now, this really goes into the next three prakim. Asa's Malchus, in a certain sense, was a very great failure. Because it was meant to be that in the Malchus of Asa, he would have restored the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, to one Melech. Malchus of Yehuda would rule over both the sides of Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Yisrael. The division was only meant to last for 36 years, corresponding to the 36 years that Shlomo was married to Bas Paro. Hashem was very critical for Shlomo marrying Bas Paro for 36 years, and punishment for that, Hashem divided the Malchus. But everything comes to an end. 36 years you married her, so for 36 years will be divided. The 36 years would have come to an end in the 15th year of Asa, making the 16th year of Asa. Make the calculation very quickly. Because how long was Rechavim king for? Rechavim was king for 17 years. After Rechavim came Aviah, he was king for 3 years. So that's 20 years. Now we go 10 years. He did Yosha for 10 years. That's 30 years, and then 5 years. Then there were 5 more years, and then similarly in the 15th, according to some of Farshim, in the 15th year of his Malchus is when he went to war against Cush and Gerar, and then now right now he's coming back from that war of Cush and Gerar. So the next year is going to be the 36th year. The 36th year is the year where now is a time, it's a zman mesugal for Asa to persuade the people in Yisrael to return to the Malchus of Yehuda. This is what is next Nisayon is going to be. And that's exactly why Azariah is coming to teach him. As Hashem sent Azariah, Hashem inspired this person. He wasn't a prophet, but he was very close to being a prophet. He met him on the way back from battle. Seemingly the battle took place in the 15th year of its Malchus, which was 35 years since the Malchus divided. The next year would be the 36th year. It was the Zman Nesugal for him to continue his success and bring everyone back to Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what he's warning him here. Look from the past mistakes. Don't become complacent. Be strong. The most important pasuk in Pasuk Zayin is V'atem Chizku, you the king, and Yehuda ben Yamin, be strong. Al Yirpu Yideichem, do not loosen your hands. Do not become weak in what you have in front of you to accomplish in the next year. Ki yesh sochor lefulaschem, you will have great reward if you succeed in unifying Klal Yisrael under the Malchus of Yehuda, and it will even bring Melech HaMashiach. This was a Zman Mesugal to bring the Malchus of Mashiach. Unfortunately, this did not happen. There were many mistakes that were made, as we're going to see not in this Perek, but in Perek Tezayin, which caused this whole thing to unravel, and the Malchus remained divided until the Churban, 250 years before the Churban came along, Sancheiv, and brought into Golos at Ten Shvatim, and the Malchus was never restored until Mashiach will come. So this is his basic message. Now there's a fascinating Granum, Rabbi Chol, you can appreciate this, and the Gros says that these words here, these four psukim that we just read, does not refer to past. It's not a Musa Shmuz by Azaryahu to look back at the last 500 years and study history and recognize that when we did Shuvah, Hashem helped us, and when we rebelled against Hashem, there was just confusion, and there was trouble, and there was tzara, and there was conflict and wars. But instead, this was a prophecy for the future. What's the prophecy? So let's read the words one more time. Go back to Pasuk Gimel. V'yamim rabim li'yisham. It's not the past, it's the future. There will be yamim rabim for Klal Yisrael in the future. There's going to be four Golios. There's going to be Bavel, Paras, Umadai, Yavon, and then Edom. The first Golos is going to be Lelo Elokeemes. This alludes to Golos Bavel. The Nebuchadnezzar. This is the Gra. There's a long Gra here. Okay, the Biuri HaGra.
So what is he talking? He's doing
today? He's telling him he was inspired. I guess he's trying to mitigate what's going to happen. That maybe what he means to say is that if you don't accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish now, now is the time to restore the Malchus to Yehuda. If you fail to accomplish the mission, then I'm telling you what's going to happen. There's going to be four Golios.
But is it Gra giving it, in a sense, as a warning? Or he's telling him, look, We have to read it.
Okay, I didn't read it carefully. I just glanced. I didn't read it carefully. We have to go through it carefully. The Gra, but he's warning him what's going to be if we don't accomplish the goal. Let's see. The Yamim Rabim Lishol Leloyel is going to be many days. Namor on Leloyel Kayemes. Who's that? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar made himself into a god. Nebuchadnezzar, he said that he is God. That Adam Elo Elyon. I am God. He's a loyal Ohemes. Then comes the Malchus of Paras Umodai. Paras Umodai is Ulolo Chohein Moreh. This the fascinating God is coming to define the essence of the nature of the Malchus of Paras Umodai. There is no Kohen Moreh. What's very interesting is that's exactly what Achashverosh did at the party. Achashverosh, who gloated over the Churban of Klal Yisrael, the Golos of the peak of Modai, Paras of Modai, he put on the Big Day Kahuna.
Yeah.
He masqueraded himself wearing the Big Day Kahuna. So it was just one more little prat, one more little detail in the Golos of Paras of Modai. No, it's a major event. That event where Achashverosh got dressed in the Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol, it captures, look, I'm the Kohen Gadol. You don't have among you Kohanim. That's exactly what it says here, according to the Gra. Ulelo Kohen Moreh. There's not going to be any Kohanim giving instruction to Klal Yisrael how to leadership. There's not going to be any religious leadership. Ulelois Soirah is the Golos of Loiso is the goals of Yavon. Yavon, they did not want to take away. There was no Avodah Zarah. It wasn't the issue. I mean, it wasn't the primary issue. And it wasn't, they weren't trying to take away Kohen Moreh. The issue was, you can remain as Jews, but don't be religious. To remove the Torah from the Jews. Ulelo Soros, it's an amazing insight. And then comes Pasuk, the next few psukim, which refer to Golos Edoim. That in the time of Golos Edom, the fourth Golos, we're going to ultimately do tshuva, and Mashiach is going to come. But until that happens, there are going to be world wars. The world's going to be in upheaval. Vayoshav Batsarlo, in the fourth Golos of Edom, we're going to tshuva in our distress. Al Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Vayvakshu Vayimotz, then we're going to ultimately seek out Hashem during the fourth Golos, and Hashem is going to make himself available to us. But uveitim ohem, it's beautiful, the Gra says. During that time, during the fourth Golos, the Golos of Edom, ain shalom, layotzei v'labah, there's no peace in the world. The world is a dangerous place. Kimuhumos rabos. There's going to be confusion, a tumult all over the world. Upheaval. I'll call Yoshvei Haratzos. V'chutisu goy begoy. One nation will oppress, will crush another nation. V'ir be'ir. Ki Elokim ha-momom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause them to be in a state of confusion, upheaval. B'chol tzara. All different types of trouble throughout the fourth Golus Edom for 2,000 years. It's amazing. It's an amazing... It's four, the four Golios are predicted right here with precision. Yeah?
The first three are in one position, the fourth one's
in Sar Pasa, because the fourth one encompasses really all together. It's Shachal Keneged Kulam, it's certainly in time, and also it's a Bilbul, it's a combination. So this is another addition for your Sefer. Right? Next edition, you're going to put this in, yeah?
It's also very close to the Aftara that we were learning on the kind of Sibur.
Well, yeah.
Kirub Yosef Kirov is the fourth. Okay, the fourth goal is Sikat Hashem. Okay. 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 So it is something which definitely requires more bayer.
It must have been the signal, the stylistic.
It's just very interesting how the first three you use this, because you know you have all these mishal, you have all the sefer, it's full of this. This is the whole sefer. It's all the different ways to express the essence of each one of the four golis. And here we have another one of El Lo Elohei Emes, Elo Chayin Moira, Elo Sora, Bavel, Parasumadai, and Yavon. And the fourth one is spelled out in all of these different descriptions. Okay, so this is what the warning that Azaryahu is giving Asa upon his return from the successful battle against Cush and Gerar. Either it's to be interpreted in the past or to be interpreted in the future. Learn from your past mistakes. Prepare for the future. This is not prophecy, it's Ruach HaKodesh, and certainly there's truth to both Mahalchim, both sets of thoughts, both schools of thought, if it's the past or the future. Let's take a look at the Metzudos David to see how he defines these few psukim. Let's start with Pasuk Aleph in the Metzudos. There's no Pasuk or Pasuk Beis. No, I'm sorry, where am I saying from? I'm a little different edition. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayetze. Azaryahu came out of his hometown. He came to meet to intercept Asa on his way home from war. You look back from the past. And when Hashem was with you, when you were with Hashem, Hashem was with you. And then he begins to warn him, watch out. There's going to be, look, what does it mean, Yom Rabim? So the Metzudah says, Hinei. Yihyu yamim rabim liyisrael sheyavdu l'loy Elohei emes v'hem bimei ochaz u'menashe v'hadoimim. According to the Metzudos, he is also learning this in reference to the future, but not like the gra of the Dalad Malchios. He's learning this in reference to the short, within the next 400 years. Within the next, really, 350 years, what's going to happen as the Bayis Rishon winds down. In reference to people who are not going to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be Ochos, Menashe, the Hadoimim, and those that were like them, who were Rishohim, and did not serve Hashem. He's warning that's what's going to happen. He's telling us over here, why is it called the Moira? Now we, in our generation, we don't think of Kohanim as people. We think of Rabbanim. We think of Rosh Yeshiva, Talmidei Chachamim. But that is a partial thing. But in Talmud Chazal, that wasn't so. Talmud Chazal, the ones that were the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolei Yisrael, were the Kohanim. That's all what he's over here. The Kohen is the Moira. Ala Kohen Lohiros. It's upon the Kohen to instruct. Dach Yashem Kama Shamar Yoyru Mishpatech Liyakov Amar Shehem Yishalu Davar Loloi Kohen Haroi Lohiros Kiyim Measher Yiv. There's going to be tragic days ahead where people are going to see guidance, not from the Kohanim, but they're going to see guidance from Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They're not going to want to seek out Hashem's Torah. They're going to want to free themselves of Torah. The words of the priests who worship idols. Okay, Vayasha, but however, there will come a point in time when they will do tshuva. They will return to Hashem Batzal in their distress. Kasher yut sadli shol yoshul Hashem kasher yivakshu li yimotzilhem. When they'll be in the time of distress, they will return to Kodesh Baruch Hu. When they seek out, when they seek out Hashem, Hashem will make Himself available to them. Pasuk hey, uvoitim ohem beoid yachziku b'mirdom. So it's going backwards because the pasuk is really a little bit out of order. Pasuk Dalit says they'll do tshuva. But then Pasuk Hey says, Pasuk Vav says, they're going to have a lot of tzaras. So the Mitzvah explains simply that it means that before they do tshuva, until they come to the realization they must do tshuva, they're going to find themselves in difficult times. There will be no peace for those that go out and come. He's learning referring to the lands of Klal Yisrael. The Gra learns, Arzos means the world. The world will be in a state of upheaval until Mashiach comes. The kitisu goy begoy yilachamu Yehuda im Yisrael the mitzulus l'shitasa refers. There is refers to battle between internal battle, civil war. Hamomam Hakadosh Baruch Hu will cause them to be confused. He translates mean yishabram the yich tesam b'chol minetz. Hashem will shatter them and crush them. All different types of tzara. Hashem will. They will crush. They will destroy their weapons. The time when Mashiach will come, isn't that what it says in the United Nations? They put that pasuk. They put it on the United Nations. Fine. So here we first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause them, the kiddushu b'goy b'goy b'yirbir, they're going to, instead of destroying their weapons, they'll destroy each other. They'll destroy each other through different wars. Okay, v'yata pasuk zayin, v'yatem avlatem kasher hachiloisem lechoiz b'dach Hashem chizku bo v'yal yirpu yidechem b'men ala ozva. You, Klal Yisrael, when you're living during this time, according to like just take what it says here into the Gra, during this difficult time, if you will be strong and hold on to the Torah, you will be okay. There is reward. Yes, sochar lifulas, a beautiful expression. There is reward for your efforts.
That's another parallel, Rivka.
There is reward for your efforts. Very good. Yes, ki yesh sochar harbe sochar nochon lefnei amokam liten gemul pu'laschem. Okay, so this is powerful stuff. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi learns a little different. Let's start with pasuk gimel. V'yamim rabim li yishol leil kemes al ad shabosa ata. So according to Rashi, Rashi is not learning like the Mitzudos, certainly not like the Gra. Rashi learns backwards. Azariyahu is giving Musar to Asa. Asa, look back at the last 500 years. Look what has happened. Look how many tzaras we had. And all of the tzaras we can now, in hindsight, we can clearly understand it was because we abandoned Hashem. There were many days in the past, lo yeluk Elohei emes, ad shabosa atam, until you came along now at this point in time, and you have gone in the ways of Hashem. Ulo chayin moresh, she'ein mi shasholuchem shum dvar Torah mishum hachi lo yori eschem akayan. There's no one that asked them anything in dvar Torah. Since no one's asking questions, they're not teaching. You have to get the Rebbe inspired by asking the Rebbe good questions. That gets the Rebbe worked up to teach. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have a king like you, Asa, who has turned around Klal Yisrael. Ata kishabasa tzor lohem bikshu al Hashem elokei Yisrael vayivakshu lefichadif ayimotz lohem hamotzui vihoshiachem b'chol asher halachtem. Hashem has made Himself available and He has saved you everywhere you have gone. Wherever you have gone, also you have been successful. You wiped out Kush and you wiped out Gerar. Okay, the next Rashi. Now he's going backwards. So hayam, going backwards during those past days, now last 500 years. Hayam harabim liyishol loloy Elohi emes. When we did not follow an Elohi emes, ain shalom layotzi luba. Berachavim ksev. He gives examples. Look at Rechavim. Rechavim was king for 17 years, and Rechavim was not a good guy. Ksev it says olav olah shishak melech mitzrayim al yushlaim ki malu b'Hashem. It's clear as day. Why? Because they rebelled against Hashem. The chola parsha viafla avia hayumu humos rabos avia his son of Rechavim also was not a tzaddik, and that's why he also had many, many conflicts in his lifetime. The kitisu goy begoy, do Dugma Vayaksum, same word, they fought, they did battle. V'atem chizku, but now that we have you, I'm warning you in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure you are strong, chizku, lidroish, to seek Belukim, Hashem, and everything will be fine and good. Okay, so that is his warning. Pasuk Ches. Did Asa take up the warning? Let's see what happens. Now this is something very interesting. All of a sudden he's saying, when Asa hears the words, and the prophecy of Odeid Hanavi. What? Odeid? Where'd he come from?
That's his father.
And also, the Odeid was a Navi in Echonami. That's true. We have many references to Odeid the Navi. But his son Azariah was not a Navi. He spoke with the Ruach HaKodesh. The parasha begins, Vazaryo ben Odeid hoysalov Ruach Elokim. Ruach Elokim, according to most commentators, is not prophecy, it's Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the Ksuvim, it's not the same idea. We do not know what Nevuah is. We do not know what Ruach HaKodesh is. All we know are just words, that it's not the same level.
But
it's a lower...
Ruach HaKodesh?
What? Well, yes, David. Some of David's writings are in Kesuvim, Tehillim, and some of David's writings are in Sefer Shmuel, which are Sifrei Nevi'im. So there are different Ishei HaTanach who were at times were inspired to a higher level of prophecy, and other times in their life gave over words that were only on the level of Ruach HaKodesh. So there's both. A person, the Ishei HaTanach, people that had both different, even Moshe. Moshe, part of Tehillim, includes words of Moshe Rabbeinu, which being that it's in Tehillim, means these were words of Ruach HaKodesh. Whereas Moshe gave us the Torah, which is all in the Geder, prophecy. So you could have both. But generally speaking, Ruach HaKodesh is on a lower level of Nevuah. So here, the Ulam Mefarshim say that when it says here, when you heard the words of Ido, the words the Hanavuah of Odeid Hanavi. So what it means is something along these lines. He heard, Azariah spoke to him with Ruach HaKodesh. The words of Ruach HaKodesh made an impression upon him. And then he first began to really appreciate the words of his father, Odeid Hanavi. Sometimes you only appreciate the Rebbe when you listen to the Talmud. Yeah?
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
You are a Navi, your father was also a Navi. It's not necessarily true that the son of a Navi, or every son of a Navi, is also a Navi.
Right, absolutely. But in this instance, we have the father was a Navi, and the son was a Haruach HaKodesh. When Asa heard the words of Ruach HaKodesh, it wasn't only the words of Ruach HaKodesh which made an impression upon him, it reminded him of his father. And then he took out the books, the prophecy of his father of Ido Hanavi, which we don't have. We don't have those words. They're not in front of us. But he restudied. He went back to the videotape and he listened carefully. He said, is this what the son said? In other words, the words of the son resonated with Asa. And then he said to himself, wow, I'm inspired. And if this is what the son can do, I only can imagine what the father was like. Let me pull out the videotape and listen and watch the father one more time, and I'll be inspired from him even more. That's what's happening over here. Yeah.
This is temporary times. Let's say you have a gavur. Take an example.
Yeah.
You have a big rebbe.
Okay.
After the town, let's say the Pariser rebbe, and the son is going on Moishala, and they say he has Ruach HaKodesh. Then suddenly his name disappears. He becomes a rab, a gona tzaddik from Paris, the Paris rebbe.
Yeah.
His father was the big rebbe, the big navi, and he was a ruach kayin. He becomes now on his
own. So he's saying a different approach. He's saying he's living on the coattails of his father.
This old story. My father always
inflation.
Emarishayim kemalachim anu kibnei yada. Right, but emarishayim kibnei yada anu
chamayim. Right.
That if we look at the previous generation, we put them up on a pedestal, then we're normal people. But if we say they're on a pedestal, I'm also on a pedestal.
So then you should know that...
You're a donkey.
Right, you're not.
When it says a donkey, and the person is not referring to the people, it's referring to arts. The way we... Okay.
But there is a difference here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's giving a whole different approach. He's saying inflation. He's saying that the son is like the father. Oh, and he's inflation.
But to both of them, I don't know the quality. How do we know the quality of Ben Oded to Oded in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes? They're both saying the Nevuah. How do we know?
No, they're not. They're not. Oded was a Navi. VaHaNevuah. Look what he says. V'Chushmoy also as Hadvar Mo'ela. When he heard these words of Ruach HaKodesh, these words of Ruach HaKodesh came from Azariyahu. Obviously, it resonated. It made its mark on him. He then went back to his father. If this is what the son is saying, I can only first begin to appreciate what the father said. He went back to the father, I guess it was recorded what the father said if he was still living. The Hanavuah of Oded Hanavi.
But there are Radak words. The Nevuah came to Ben Oded also.
Let's see the Radak. I didn't see the Radak. Let's see Pasuk Ches. Hanavuah Oded Hanavi Chosar Hanismach. We're missing. Perish Hanavuah VaHanavuah Nevuas Oded Hanavi. We're missing that. V'chein Ha'aron VaHabris VaChem Zulah. So Oy Perish VaHanavuah Oded Hanavi VeHineh Hanavuah Chosol Azaria. The Nevuah was to Azaria Ben Oded VeEich Amar VaHanavuah Oded Hanavi El Ratz Lomar Ben Oded Hanavi. So it means Kamol Leene Chanamol. We leave out. Sometimes we leave out the name of the father. We call the son. It's a different interpretation. We leave the son. We call the son by the name of the father, but it really means over here. It means over here the words of the Azariah. When the words of Azariah were heard by Asa, he was inspired.
But is there not equating what came to Ben Oded as Nevi'ish, or what you just read?
The Hanavuah, possibly, yeah, possibly. He will then have to learn. I'm not sure that when it says Azariah Ben Oded Haysal of Ruach Elokim, Ruach Elokim means Nevuah.
So in that case, you don't have your example.
Okay, I am Panim Latorah. There are many interpretations. I'm just throwing out some ideas. You're right. It says here, Ruach Elokim. When I prepared, I remember all the things I saw, but Ruach Elokim is not Nevuah. When it says Nevuah, it says Nevuah. Ruach Elokim is Ruach HaKodesh. That creates a difficulty, because here it says here, V'HaNevuah. Well, that's not such a difficulty. When you take it literally, Oded Hanavi. If you want to go say Oded Hanavi refers to Azariah, and we're calling Azariah by his father's name, which is not so far-fetched, which is common, to call a son by their father's name, leaving out the word Ben, then it says Ruach HaNevuah. Then you're forced to say that when it says Ruach Elokim means Nevuah. It means prophecy.
The Balaam confirms that also.
Okay.
Moshe says that HaNevuah shall Ben Oded.
Anavuah shall ben anachanami, okay? Anachanami. Or it could be also, maybe, I don't know if it doesn't say this, but it could be that it started off as Ruach HaKodesh, and then, as he continued to speak, there came words of prophecy. And not everything is recorded. Only prophecy that is relevant for all time is recorded. It could be the prophecy that was told to him was not relevant for all generations. And that's why it's not recorded, but it was mentioned and inspired Asa for what he's about to do. He's now about to make a new bris with Klal Yisrael. So let's go further. Pasuk Chav, one more time. Chashma also, Hashem Elohim HaNevuah Oded Hanavi. His chazak. He listened carefully. He strengthened himself. And what did he do? Vayaver Hashikutzim. He called Eretz Yehuda. Now he did another thing. We already learned about this. See, this is very interesting. We already learned in the beginning of the parak. That was one of the first things that he did. You go back to the beginning of parak Yudalid. The first thing that Asa did was he cleaned out the land. Go back to parak Yudal Pasakal. Vayas Asa Hatov Vayosha B'nei Hashem Elokav Vayosar Es Mizbichois Hanechor VeHabamos Vayishaber Es Hamatzevos Vayigada Es Hoasherim. He got rid of all of these forms of idolatry. Now, Nochamo, it's now 15 years later. According to most Mepharshim, it's 15 years later since he became king and he did Yashar. And now, once again, he hears the Musa Shemus from Azariah, from Edo, and now, Oded, and now, again, Vayaver HaShikutzim. But didn't he already clean out all the Shikutzim? Obviously, there was more. Obviously, there was more to clean out. You never finished. Vayaver HaShikutzim, we call Eretz Yehuda v'Yamin u'min ha'orim, and from the cities, Asher Locha Meharfarim, which he captured from Har Ephraim, Vayichadesh Es Mizbach Hashem, and now he did something which is new, which he renewed. The Mizbach Hashem, Asher Lefnei Ulam Hashem. We find this concept often in Tanakh. We find this in Sefer Yoshua as well, that when you make a bris with Hashem, you build a new Mizbeach. You renew the Mizbeach. And the greatest example of this is Chanukah. Why is the Yom Tov of Chanukah called after the Mizbeach? It's not just that they came into the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach was defiled and they built a new Mizbeach. There were many things that they cleaned out. The whole Beis HaMikdash was contaminated, was full of idols, full of contamination. And there's also the miracle of the menorah. The menorah lasted for 8 days, and there were the wars. So why did they call the Chanukah after the Mizbech? The answer is because the main theme of Chanukah was Klal Yisrael renewed their relationship with Hashem. Renewing your relationship with Hashem captures everything. It captures the miracles of the menorah, captures the miracle of the wars, it captures they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash. In Tanakh, when Klal Yisrael renews their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is always referred to with this idea of building for Hashem a Mizbeach. What's the first example of this concept? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he lies down, he has a dream, the Sulam, and he realizes, Manura Hamokha Mazain Zaki in Beis Lakim Zeshar Hashemayim. What does he do? He takes the stone, he pours oil, and he says, if you'll be with me, Evan has Zosa Shar Santi Matsevoya Beis Lakim. He makes this Evan into the Beis Lakim. He takes a stone, and he makes the stone into the place where it's going to be a Beis Lakim. When you discover, when you reach a new level in your appreciation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the natural consequence or the natural thing a person does next is he makes a mokum. You make a mokum, you designate a mokum as a place to serve Hashem, to offer korbanos and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanukah, Klal Yisrael now had a renewal of their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No more Avodah Zarah, no more Yivanim. We're going to renew ourselves. Therefore, the Yom Tov is called after the Mizbeach. Here exactly, we have this example in Yeshua as well. I don't remember the details, but we have here another example where Klal Yisrael also, they renewed themselves with the Mizbeach. And therefore now when Osa came to this high Madrega, that's exactly what he did. He went and he built a new Mizbeach. Vayechadesh es Mizbeach Hashem asher lifnei Ulam Hashem. That was before the Ulam of Hashem. That's one approach. Another other Mefarshim learned that what he did here was similar to what Moshe did after the rebellion of Korach. When Korach rebelled, so what did Hashem told Moshe? Take the pans of copper that the Bnei Korach used to offer in the Ketores, take those pans and use it to plate the surface of the Mizbeach as a constant reminder you don't rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some of the Farshim want to learn that here when the Asa, he was warned by Azariah that he should serve Hashem, he went and he cleaned out the Eretz Yehuda, any Avodah Zarah that was found, gold or silver or copper that was used for Avodah Zarah, he seized and he used it to plate the Mizbeach. Or not necessarily the outside of the Mizbeach, but on the floor, the surface of the Mizbeach, where the Kohanim would walk. There was one Amma that was a pathway on the surface of the Mizbeach. That Amma was plated with gold, silver, copper, different precious metals, and those metals came from the Avodah Zarah that was seized from Klal. So of course, the king came out of the Zohar on the basis of the Mizbeach. You have to be mevatlet. Whatever has to be done to take away the tumas of the Zohar. Right, whatever he did. And that always was a constant reminder that you have to serve Hashem. A zerach means to sacrifice. It means to conquer. You have to conquer the Yetzirah. The Avodah Zarah was the Yetzirah for Klal Yisrael. By seizing it and incorporating it into the Mizbeach, it is exactly what the essence of the Mizbeach is, to conquer the Yetzirah. Okay, let's go pasuk test. It says called Yehuda. He gathered as called Yehuda the Yom of the Hagadim. Imorim those that live with them. Me'afraim and Menashe, Mishimon, Mishimon. So look what's going on over here. This is amazing. This is already. He's already getting a lot of power. It's the 35th year. only 1 year left until the time will come when he will control the entire Klal Yisrael. And already there were telltale signs who was under his authority. Shevet Ephraim. You can't do better than that. There are many people from Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim was the capital of the Malchus of Yisrael, of Yerubim ben Nevat. Yerubim ben Nevat came from Shevet Ephraim. Shomron, Shechem. That Shechem was Shevet Ephraim. And here they are. Ve'hagorim imohem Ephraim u'Menashe. Many members from these Shvatim already joined ranks. They joined us. They recognized that the Malchus belongs to Yehuda. U'mishimon, from Shimon as well. Kinaf lulav Yisrael l'roid, because many people joined. Many people joined from Yisrael in abundance. They defected. So it was very easy for him to seal the deal. It was very easy for him now in the next year to persuade everyone else to join his Malchus, and once again there will only be one Melech over Klal Yisrael, and that will be the beginning, the Aschalta, the Geula, to bring Melech HaMashiach. And unfortunately, it was very tragic that this did not happen. Vayikavsu Yushlaim HaChodesh HaShlishi. He gathered everyone to Yushlaim in the third month, L'shnas Chamesh Esher L'Malchus Asa, the 15th year of his Malchus. Vayizbuchu L'Hashem Bayom Ahu, and they offered sacrifices, Min HaShalol Hevi, from the spoil of war, which were the war, seemingly the war of Cush, of Cush and Gruar. Bokar, cattle, Shvameel, 700 oxen, Vitzoin, Shiva Salah, from 7,000 sheep. Vayovo, what?
Bok is a different shot, which war it was.
Yeah, which war does he say?
He says it's the war with Asa.
With the war with Basha?
Asa.
No, this is Asa. This is Melech Asa.
Asa, bro.
Asa is the king. Asa is the king.
It's different.
Okay, we'll see in a moment. Let's read it. We'll come back. Vayavo v'abris, they made a new covenant with Hashem. Lidroish es Hashem elokei avosehem b'chol levavam b'chol nafsham b'chol. Now here they did something that is very bizarre, and the Farshim don't know what this, it's very hard to understand what this means. They accepted upon themselves anyone that doesn't want to serve Hashem will be executed. Now, where in halacha is there such a thing that a person is chayav to give up his life if you're not going to serve Hashem? Uvechol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem elokei Yisrael, you must. Anyone that does not serve Hashem will be put to... But this is not Yeri Dachas. They're not worshiping Avodah Zarah.
Whoever stayed with Yisrael had the two of
the Agolim. Right. Doesn't say they were actually worshiping the Agolim at this point in time. Okay, it's not very clear. But they accept upon themselves Yehuda, a bris, anyone that does not want to be Dervish Hashem Elokav, you must, Lemin the Katon, Yad Gadol, Lemin Ish Yad Isha. Vayishav al Hashem Mekol Gadol, they swore to Hashem Mekol Gadol, Uvisrua, Uvichatzai Tzreis, Uvashayfos, all different types of a Shua, what kind of instrument? Different types of instruments. And the chatzaitzros, trumpets of the shofaros. Vayismuchu, they rejoiced. Kol Yehuda al Hashua, ki v'chol levavam nishbo, they swore with their full heart. Uvechol ritzonam bik shuhu, they sought out Hashem. Vayimotze lohem, Hashem made himself available to them. The Shechina rested upon them. Vayonach Hashem lohem yisrim, Hashem gave them rest from their enemies. V'gam macha. Now here's another very interesting point. Macha. Now, no, before we get to macha, let's first go through the mitzvahs and rashi so we have time to go to the next section. Yeah. Let's go back to pasuk ches. Okay, we're up to pasuk ches in the mitzudos. When also heard the nevuah of Azariah and the nevuah of Odin Hanavi, Ashal Odin Hanavi ki gam hu hisnabe ka devodim oela. Besides his son giving over words of Ruach HaKodesh, Odin also gave over words of prophecy. The im shalom niska b'mikra, even though it's not mentioned explicitly, it is implied that this also happened. Hashikutzim, so what did Asa do? He made a new sweep. He sent out his messengers to inspect everyone's home to make sure there was no remnant of Avodah Zarah. Hashikutzim, ha'avedus kechavim ha'mu'usim, the detestable of Avodah Zarah, he cleaned out. Wait, I skipped the page over here. Kishkotz, Kish Kotsin, which is an abomination, Vayachadesh, Tiknu Uboneo Mechadash. He rebuilt the Mizbeach. Okay, he rebuilt a brand new Mizbeach. It doesn't say here, what's very interesting is it doesn't say here the Mizbeach was Tomei. Doesn't say the Mizbeach was defiled. Hanukkah, we know the Mizbeach was defiled. The Yevonim offered sacrifices to gods, to Avodah Zarah. So they had no choice. Here it doesn't say there was anything wrong with the Mizbeach. In fact,
they didn't throw away the stones.
Even
the stones is about the family.
But it seems it was, to some degree, it was defiled. It was defiled. They did have sanctity. They didn't want to throw it away. They put it away in storage in that room, that chamber. So here, but it's an amazing thing because think the average person thinks when it comes to Hanukkah, the reason why they built a new Mizbeach was because the Mizbeach was contaminated. It was contaminated, so they had no choice. They had to demolish and rebuild it. Here you see by also, it does not say anywhere the Mizbeach was contaminated. In fact, for the last 10 years, last 15, 14 years, obviously the Mizbeach in the Midrash was fine. It says very clearly that he did Hayosher v'hatoif. He was a tzaddik. They were doing good things for the last 15 years. And that's why they succeeded in the battle against Cush and Gror. So why now is he coming to make a new Mizbeach? Why is he demolishing the old Mizbeach and making the new Mizbeach? Obviously, when you want to renew your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, lahavdil elef alfei hevdalot, like by the Goyim, they renew their vows, right? There's such a thing. They renew their vows. That's really, to a certain degree, that's what it is. It's a new appreciation in our relationship, reaffirmation, and that requires to demolish the old Mizbeach, which was kosher v'yosher, to build a new Mizbeach. Min hashlol heviu, min hashlol asher heviu, they brought the spoils of the shul, they call that Ratzon Lomar, the coil Haschaze b'kol simcha, the voice of simcha. Ki b'chol levavam loy mehakoras mitzvah hamelech l'chsheyu atzav medavar. Not because of the decree, the reckoning mehakoras mitzvah hamelech l'chsheyu atzav medavar. They returned to Hashem not because they were told to do so by the king, but because they did so out of sincerity. They recognized that Hashem was with them. Because they were sincere, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself available and Hashem gave him peace. Okay, Pasuk Tes Vav. That's next. Okay, that's next. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, starting with Yud Al, Vayizbuchu Lashem B'yamuhu min Hashlol Haiviu Pisroin. What does this mean? The interpretation. Umin Hashlol Sheiviu Zivchoi Zavchu Bokar Sheva Meos Vitzon Sheva Salafim Sheshavu Mimenu Haiviu, and they brought Kidlumalo like we had before. The Gam Ohalei Mikne Haiviu Vyoshu Tzon Leroiv, the Goimer, because that says at the very end of the battle, when they came back from Gerar, it says there they captured cattle. And that cattle they capture, the end of that battle, is what they use here for the renewal sacrifices. The Goyimer, Dover Acher, Nirali, Vayizchul Hashem Bayom Ahu, Shenotzchu, Ubol, B'Sholom, Yushalayim, Min Hashalol, they prevailed. Shenitzchu, Vobah, B'Sholom, Yushalayim, Min Hashalol, Heviu, Kolaymar, Min Hashalol, Asher Heviu, Heviu, Bokar, from the spoils that they brought. They brought Bokar, Sheva, Meos, but soin shivs alavim. So it doesn't mean according to the second interpretation, it does not mean from the only mikneh. It means from the general spoils. Just two interpretations. Where did they get the animals from? Did they get the animals from the Olei Mikneh that they conquered at the very end of the Battle of Gerar, or did they get the cattle from all of the spoils, the biza, that they took from the two wars of Cush and Gerar?
Your Abba said it was a Melech Yisrael.
What?
The Rabbah said.
Yeah.
It was the spoils they got from the war Melech Yisrael Basha.
Okay, that's later on. Okay, that's a whole different approach. Okay, so he's referring to what's going to happen later. Okay, I didn't see the Rabbah. I have to go study it. Okay, that's a different interpretation. That's a whole different. That's the nezer shel yev shel shayim in akushim ki kvar amar kodem ki biyom shoshak taretz eshanim. Okay, v'zos hamulcham yev shel shayim ba. You know, yevsha shetiyem ba shoki kvar amar bayom v'mulcham lohayis at shnas shloshim v'chamesh. V'zay b'shnas chamesh eshlo malchus asok moshe ben lomachem ki ashloshim. So where the spoils come from?
Brabag.
The curse mitzvah v'lozer. Yeah, I'm reading. I'm turning towards the end now. Yes, cannot be. And then it goes further. And it goes further. And it goes also. It also came from Basha. Go further. Yeah. It can't be from Basha because Basha was later.
Yeah, but he's saying it can't be for the
Kushim. So where did it come from? Is there a netzach notzach also in Basha? That's later on. Okay, That didn't happen yet. According to the simple interpretation, that did not happen. Azariah, according to the simple interpretation of certain, maybe the Rabbah is learning differently, I didn't see it inside in detail, but the way we're learning right now, Azariah ben Oded is approaching Asa before the Mulchama of Basha. We're not yet up to Mulchama Basha. The Mulchama Basha is going to take place in the next year, in the 16th year. So he's learning that already happened. The war already happened. Okay, I don't know if that you have to see it inside. I didn't see it inside. He's learning that everything will be then out of order. Everything will be taken on a total new meaning. Okay, so that concludes this section. Okay, we'll stop here. But basically, so we have over here. So to recap, we have over here. We have here towards 15 years into the Malchus of Asa. Asa was a tzaddik for the first 10 years. He took over two reigns of Malchus that were not perfect. Rechavam, 17 years, was problematic. Avia, for 3 years, problematic. Comes Basha, 10 years. Toiv v'hayoshar, 5 years later, two major wars. Kush and Gror, he comes back, successful. It's now 35 years since the Malchus was divided. Already many people from Yehuda, Yisrael, have defected. And now he gets a meeting with Azariah ben Oded and tells him, be mechazik yourself, good things are going to happen, and if you fail, bad things are going to happen. A prediction of the Dal of Golios, according to the Gra. And he listens, he renews reaffirms his relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, makes a bris, and they rebuild the Mizbeach as a sign of their reaffirmation of their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here.